Let's pray.
God, I am just so thankful to be here, to share your word today. And God, first off, I just want to thank you for your love, God, that you constantly pour out on us. God, for loving us when we deliberately choose to sin against you. God, for the fact that you are willing to forgive us time after time, despite how wretched our hearts are. And God, we gather here today as a church to respond to the beautiful gospel that you've given to us. And we want this time to be about you, God. So I pray that the words that come out of my mouth wouldn't be about my own preferences or what I want to say. But God, would you speak through me? God, speak through my words. God, help me to be receptive to your spirit. And God, in all things, would you be glorified? We thank you for this day once again. We thank you for the word that guides us. And I pray that you would convict us today. Thank you once again. We love you, God, and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so today we're going to be talking about the church. Is this slide running? Nice. Okay, cool. We were having troubles earlier, but thankfully that's got resolved. But today, yeah, we're going to be talking about the church, and specifically the church here in America. And you guys know the church really isn't what it used to be in the past, right? If we look back 50 years ago, the church was quite popular. Most Americans would attend church on a weekly basis. But now we see that the church is sort of losing its influence. Nowadays, we see like Christians being ridiculed and looked down upon. And, you know, maybe that's some of the reasons why we are even a little fearful in terms of sharing the gospel with others. And just in light of that, I want to give you guys some alarming statistics that talks about the church here and our state in America. In 2005, research done by the Journal for the Scientific Study of Religion shows that 17.7% of Americans, 17.7%, attend church on a weekly basis. And that includes the Catholic Church, the Evangelical Church, and even mainline churches here in America. Another study done by Pew Forum showed that 98% of all Southern evangelicals, and Southern evangelicals are pretty much known to have a better adherence rate, which pretty much means that this is the best case scenario for the Christian denomination. So 98% of all Southern evangelicals believe in the existence of God, 98. And then 41% believe that there is only one true interpretation of the Bible. And this is the most alarming out of all the statistics here. 36% of professing evangelicals in the South believe that their religion is the one true faith that leads to eternal life. Only 36%. This means that the other 64% believe in the gospel that's contrary to what the Bible talks about. It's crazy stuff, right? We see the church is in a decline today. With all that going on, my question, the question that we're going to address today, this afternoon, is how do we as a church stay grounded in the truth in light of culture's influence today? The question again is, how do we as a church stay grounded in the truth in light of culture's influence today? And when I was thinking about the current state of the church here in America, I was automatically reminded of the church in Laodicea. And in the Bible, the church in Laodicea is addressed in Revelation. But before we get into the text, I want to establish some groundwork that will help us to better understand what's going on through context. And so to start off, the book of Revelation is considered to be an apocalyptic, and that refers to events and happenings that will occur during the end times when Christ comes back. But chapters 2 to 3 can be treated as an epistle, you know, like the church letters that we see written by Paul and et cetera. Because in chapters 2 to 3, they're actual letters written to the 7 churches in Asia, which is current-day Turkey. And even though, like, Revelation seems pretty scary, right? It's confusing. There's a lot of symbolism. The main theme of Revelation, and this is free education from Talbot I'm giving to you guys, is to give hope to the church. The main theme of Revelation is to give hope to the church so that we can have faith to endure because the book of Revelation clearly shows Jesus winning the cosmic battle against Satan. Yes, persecution is promised. There will be persecution. Yes, there will be suffering. But the greatest comfort is in knowing that God is with us and that the victory is ours through Christ. The church in Laodicea is one of the seven churches that's receiving this letter, which is communicated by Jesus, but written by the Apostle John, who's recording what Jesus is telling him to record. And just to give you guys some background information on the church in Laodicea, they're known to be really rich. Back in the days during the first century, they were known to be a financially thriving city. Laodicea had a lot of money. And just to give you guys an example of how well off they were, after being devastated by a huge earthquake in the first century, they straight up rejected aid from foreign countries. And they pretty much said, "No, we can handle this ourselves. We don't need your money. We'll just rebuild with our own finances." And man, that's pretty crazy, right? For any city to do that, to have that kind of money. And I totally cannot see Los Angeles, let alone any other city in California, responding like that after an earthquake. We're like financially in a mess here in California. But yeah, since we have a better understanding on what's going on in Laodicea and how they're flourishing and how they're pretty rich and well off, let's actually go into the text. So the passage today comes from Revelation chapter 3. So if you guys have your Bible, let's open them up to Revelation 3. And we're going to be reading from verse 14. Revelation 3. Verse 14. And this is the reading of God's word. Nice. "And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation." So let's pause real quick. It sounds a little confusing, but the angel of the church that's being referred here is an actual human messenger that's receiving this letter from the Apostle John. This sounds weird too, but the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation, they're all titles of Jesus. And in the Old Testament, God is referred to the God of the Amen. So I just wanted to clear that out. Let's move on. Let's read from verse 15. "I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." Well, so what we see here is that Jesus is rebuking the church for being purposeless. And he does this by calling them lukewarm, which is why Jesus wishes that they were either hot or cold, right, as he mentioned in the text. And we know that cold can be good and hot can be good, right? Cold and hot can serve its different purposes. And so it's pretty evident that Laodicea knows what's going on, because the context of this is that the city of Laodicea had an aqueduct that would transport hot water from a spring that was 5 miles away, and in transit it would cool down, and by the time it reached Laodicea it would be lukewarm. So the Laodiceans, they totally knew what was going on, and you guys can imagine, if it was cold and if they want to take like a hot bath, they wouldn't have hot water, it would be lukewarm. And that's the most terrifying thing, taking a lukewarm bath when it's cold. And I know some of you guys in missions took cold showers when it was cold, so amazing stuff. But anyway, yeah, so the Laodiceans, they knew what was going on. And, you know, many of you guys know, I play basketball with some of the guys here on Fridays. Lately, it's the only form of exercise I've been getting. I've been getting weight. The beard can't hide all the fat, so you guys can see. Sometimes I play well. You know, you can ask David. David witnesses game-winning shots. But most of the time, to be honest with you guys, I play pretty bad. You know, let's be honest. I'm not Kobe, right? But whether if I play like bad or good, the one thing that's always guaranteed that you can bet your life on is the fact that I will sweat. And many of you guys know that I sweat a lot. You know, I like, especially when I exercise, I am completely drenched. It looks like someone poured buckets of water all over me because I sweat that much. And, man, even walking to my car, guys, like, it's hot today, right? Walking to the car will make me sweat. I guarantee it. But when I'm playing, like, let's say I play 3 hours of basketball, right, in this heat, outside, right, I'm completely drenched in sweat, and the last thing that's on my mind is whether if we won the game or lost the game. But rather, my mind is focused on, shoot, I am so thirsty. I lost all that fluid from my body. I need water right now. Where is the ice cold water? And that moment, and some of you guys can testify to this, the moment where you drink that refreshing ice cold water, it's the best feeling, especially in the heat, right? But let's say, on the other hand, there was no cold water, but rather there was water that's been just left out, right? That would be the nastiest thing to drink when you're hot and when you want something cold to refresh yourself. So we see that cold can serve its purpose. Cold is good, too, when it's hot. Hot can be good, too, when it's cold. But lukewarm is simply gross. Gross, and it serves no purpose at all. And my question is, are we being purposeful to the church? Or are we being lukewarm? And there are many different ways to be purposeful and intentional, which is why we have membership, fellowship groups, life groups, missions, and other ministries to serve. And if some of us are not ready to commit, that's totally fine. We can still be intentional by building up the body through fellowshipping, through encouraging one another. We'll have the chance to do that when we have snacks. In addition, we can pursue Jesus's mission to the church by following, by obeying his call to make disciples. That's one way we can be purposeful. Are we being discipled so that we can disciple others? Are we being active in sharing the gospel to others? Jesus wants us to have purpose in the church. Let's continue on in the text and read from verse 17. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. And this right here is a harsh, harsh statement. Jesus is rebuking the church here for being spiritually blind. And we mentioned before that Laodicea is a financially thriving city, right? But Jesus is telling them that they're spiritually bankrupt, and they don't even realize it. So last night, we were at Real Life. It was a film festival with all the other Second Nature churches. If you guys weren't there, you guys missed out. We had Pastor Joe made a really good film. And our film was pretty much on being spiritually blind, which goes hand in hand with what I'm talking about right now. And I, of course, me, played the judgmental, legalistic character who was interested in works rather than grace. All right, it's funny. My name was Mark Brian Cho, and I was just bashing on all the other church members. Ironically, as I was prepping this sermon, I need to confess to you guys that I initially didn't relate at all with the church in Laodicea, but rather I actually thought of others who needed to hear this passage and to change. And this is just my own sinfulness in being judgmental towards others. I didn't examine myself to see if I was being lukewarm and spiritually blind. And I was actually deceived into thinking that I'm not rich like the Laodiceans. I'm a poor seminarian student, and I have so many responsibilities at church that it's obvious that I'm being purposeful. But what I failed to see was that I am actually rich, and I do live a luxurious lifestyle, especially in relation to the world standard today. I'm complacent. And I even label myself as too busy to take on other responsibilities. And even I don't even make myself available to serve others in being purposeful. I was totally blinded by my own judgment towards others without knowing that I am actually wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. And, you know, I was completely deceived. Are we constantly examining ourselves? Or are we being susceptible and being blindsided? I think that it's healthy for us to examine ourselves through the reading of Scripture and prayer. And God uses those times that we spend with Him to reveal some of the deep hidden sins that are rooted into our hearts. And this is why David writes in Psalm 139, you guys don't have to turn there, I'll just read for us from verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And right here, it's evident that David realizes that he can be spiritually blind. He can be easily deceived into thinking that he's okay, which is why he asks God to search his heart so that he can be led into righteousness. In addition to that, our community can keep us accountable in warning us of potential blind spots that we may encounter. Our community gives us the perspective that we often fail to see. Are we allowing others to keep us accountable? Are we being accountable to others? We must constantly examine ourselves to see if we're walking in blindness. So let's continue on the passage and look at verse 18. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Although Jesus rebukes the church, he desires repentance from his people so that he can be in restored fellowship with them. Jesus wants to be relational with his people. And we see that eating with someone, right, as Jesus says, they will eat with me, right, is considered to be a relational thing. And that's why I bug many of you guys to eat with me, because I want to be relational with you guys. But you guys reject me. Just kidding. Laodicea, they were known to have well-known banks. They had a thriving textile and medical industry. They were known for having money, as we mentioned, black wool, and salve, which is medicine for the eye. Jesus is saying that the church's spiritual illness cannot be cured by the worldly resources the Laodiceans were depending on, right? They were super proud in being self-sufficient with their money. They had all these amazing resources, which is why Jesus says, that's not going to save you. Only I have the stuff you need to be saved. And that's what he states in verse 18, right? I want to read to you guys a passage from Isaiah 55. And this parallels a lot with what we read in verse 18. This comes from verse 1. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live." Jesus wants us to open the door and accept him. That's all he asks for. He truly wants what's best for us. And we see that, right? God is saying, eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. And it absolutely kills him to see his own creation chasing after different idols and addictions that ultimately end up ruining us. Jesus is banging on the door. And he's pleading, please open the door. Come to me and be satisfied. I died on the cross so that I can have a relationship with you. Please don't do that to yourself. Why are you working so hard for something that does not satisfy? I am everything that you need, and I am madly in love with you. I want to cure you from your illness. Please open the door and have a relationship with me. Jesus loves us, and he wants to be relational with his people. For those of us who know Jesus, this is a call for us to live a lifestyle in repentance. And I know the word repent can sound pretty negative, right? But it's actually a good thing. Jesus wants us to turn away from the sin that's ruining our lives so that we can turn to him and experience renewed life. Is this something that we aim to do daily? Are we in daily repentance? For those of us who might not know Jesus, maybe you haven't put your faith in Christ. And I just want to say that Jesus is there for you with open arms to accept you as you are right now. And you don't have to reach a certain level because, you know, Jesus is fine the way you are. And he's the one that's going to start the change and growth in our lives. He's going to transform us and grow us through the working of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is pretty harsh in his rebuke to the church. But the most important thing for us to understand is that God's grace is ready to meet us wherever we are in life. Jesus wants us to be in fellowship with him and even promises us to sit with him on his throne. He wants an active, intimate, and personal relationship with us. Despite how far we think we are from God, despite what terrible sins we've committed, even despite the addictions and the idols that are controlling our hearts right now, the only thing that he asks on our behalf is to simply accept him, to open the door, and to let him eat with us. Church, this is what's so amazing about God's unrelenting grace. It pursues after us and it meets us wherever we are spiritually. And Satan, he's going to do everything in his power to deceive us, to make us think that we're too terrible to accept Jesus. He's going to use a sin. He's going to use our sins against us and make us believe that Jesus won't accept us as we are, which is a lie. This is why it's so important to stay grounded in the truth of the gospel. We are so easily deceived, and this is why we need to constantly remind ourselves of the gospel every day. And my encouragement is for us to daily accept Jesus into our lives so that we can have renewed fellowship with him. Let's pray. And I want to invite you guys to spend some time with the Lord. I know we're in different spiritual states. We have different walks. But I don't know if we spend, you know, every day at the feet of Jesus, repenting and confessing our sins. And whatever is burdening your hearts right now, I want to invite you guys to lift that up to the Lord. Let's spend a moment to spend time with him and to repent and to fellowship with him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the gift of being able to have a relationship with you, God. God, we thank you so much for the fact that you desire for what's best for us. God, that you constantly look after our needs. God, it is so true that you are taking care of us, God, even though we may not realize it. God, for that, for your constant provisions, we want to thank you so much. We want to worship you, God, at this time. My prayer is that you would open us up, God, to your Spirit, that we would be able to come to join you, God, back in renewed fellowship. That, God, you would even remind us our great need for you, God. Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for your grace that is so amazing, that pursues after us. We thank you so much for who you are, God, and what you're doing in our lives. We love you, God, and pray this in Jesus' name.